Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au. Open House around Australia with Lee Hatcher. And now, the human condition.
Yes, and here's a question to kick off a new series of conversations with our Open House human condition guru, clinical psychologist Lynn Worsley. You ready for it? Are you a giver or a taker? Let's see what Lynn means by that, and it may well be a time for a bit of raw honesty with ourselves. Lynn Worsley, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Great to see you as always. So what do you mean, and why is this a good question for us to consider as part of the human condition, Lynn?
Yeah, Lee, the topic of giving and taking is one that's been studied by a number of researchers with some interesting results. And the work I'm talking about is particularly by an organisational psychologist called Adam Grant. And the topic is of giving and taking. Now, researchers discover that there are three different types of people, which is particularly evident in the business world. Now, I think this is transferable to all parts of our lives as well, not just in business. But Adam Grant found that there are the givers. These people give more than they take, and they actually feel guilty if someone returns a favour or it's quite a foreign idea for them.
Okay.
Then there's the takers, and they're very good at networking with people in order to take. And while that sounds like it's not very nice, it's okay because they network this way and they often find people who want to give to them.
It's what networking's about,
Yes. But generally, they think like a taker. Okay. And thirdly, there are those who are matchers. Now, these people match what they've been given by expecting a return, or they match what they like, okay, what they take, by giving back the same amount.
So two extremes and one in the middle.
Yes.
Can I ask you this about the implications for each of these types? We'll cover a range of areas. Let's start with people in business.
Now, Adam Grant looked at successful people in business and how they interacted with each other. He found that in every successful person, there is a choice that they make when they approach other people. Will they claim as much value as they can? Do they contribute value to that person? Or do they work out how much is owed for the service that's given? What was interesting is that Grant discovered that there is a difference in how successful givers and takers were. He found that the most successful people in business were the givers.
Okay.
And the least successful people were also the givers.
I was going to try and come up with, there's logic in that, but that's blown that.
The takers and the matchers, they were in the middle.
I understand that.
Now, from the results of the first analysis he did, he went to work out the differences between the successful givers and the not-so-successful givers, and he found some very interesting results.
Okay.
There was a difference in how the givers gave. The successful givers had a style that genuinely sought the benefit of others. They were outwardly focused and they were excited about another person's success, and they did not attribute the success to themselves. Those who were the unsuccessful givers also looked outward. However, they did that out of feelings of obligation.
Okay.
They should do this, etc., and they gave compulsively. And this compulsive giving actually meant that they gave often inappropriately or gave when it was not really all that helpful. So in essence, the successful givers were more appropriate givers.
So they're seeking the benefit of others
in appropriate ways,
as opposed to a sense of being driven by a sense of obligation.
Or, yes, just trying to give for the sake of giving.
Yeah, okay. What about the takers, and how did they interact with business relationships that made them unsuccessful?
Well, takers like to get more than they give. They like bargains.
Yep.
They put their own interests ahead of others' needs. And takers believe the world is a competitive dog-eat-dog place. They feel that to success, they need to be better than others.
Yes.
And to prove their competence, they self-promote. And they make sure they get plenty of credit for their efforts. They're not cruel or cutthroat, but they're cautious and overprotective. And if they say, if I don't look out for myself first, others will take advantage of me and no one else will look out for me.
Yes.
So a number of years ago, I remember distinctly talking to a businessman who said, we can be nice and caring in our personal lives, but business is business, he said.
That's what they say.
And if you want to succeed, you have to play the game. At the time, it really didn't sit right with me, but he was what appeared to be a very successful businessman. And he certainly told people he was successful and he drove a very flash car.
That's the big measure if you're a businessman.
Yep. But a number of years down the track, he poached staff from a reputable service company and he rendered them insolvent.
Wow. Okay.
He had sweet talked the staff to believing they'd be better off with him. And unfortunately, it wasn't true, as the staff worked so hard when they went with him, but they ended up burning out and leaving.
And he'd still say business is business, I suppose.
That's right. Yeah. So if you're a taker, you help others strategically when the benefits to you outweigh the personal cost.
Okay.
If you're a giver, you might use a different cost-benefit analysis. You help whenever the benefits to others exceeds your personal cost.
Okay, yep.
Alternatively, you might help others without the thought of personal cost at all. If you're a giver at work, you simply strive to be generous in sharing your time, your energy and your knowledge and your skills and ideas and connections with other people who can benefit from them.
Now, we're talking about this style of relating with others as a predominant style in all aspects of their lives, or particularly for the workplace relationships?
Yes. According to Yale psychologist Margaret Clark, most people act like givers in close relationships. In marriage and friendships, we contribute whenever we can without keeping score. But in the workplace, give and take becomes more complicated.
Yeah.
Professionally, only few of us act purely like givers or takers, adopting a third style of relating.
Yeah.
Matches operate in the principle of fairness. When they help others, they protect themselves by seeking reciprocity. If you're a matcher, you believe in tit for tat.
Yes.
And your business relationships are governed by even exchanges or favours.
Okay.
You might find that you shift from one reciprocity style to another as you change your work roles. You can act like a taker when you negotiate your salary, a giver when you mentor someone with less experience, and a matcher when you share with a colleague.
Yeah, so the kind of barriers between these three are a bit kind of
fluid.
Fluid, yes.
Yeah. But the research actually shows that at work we develop a primary style.
Okay, yep.
And it captures how that we approach most people most of the time at work. And what's interesting is that the style of relating can play as much of a role in the success of business as hard work, talent and luck.
That's interesting.
Yes. So whether you're a giver or a taker or a matcher will determine how successful you are in business.
In a way, I'm not surprised. Can I just reflect on my professional experience in the world of journalism, for instance, which I don't think is really brain surgery. I've said that to a lot of people I've mentored. And the thing that distinguishes those who are often more successful are sheer ruthlessness, so there's that category. But a lot of others will succeed on being a person who you can deal with,
yep,
who's reasonable,
yep,
who's just a good person to have around. It's how they relate.
It is how they relate. But oftentimes you know when someone's relating to you because they really care about you.
Yeah.
And that makes a difference.
Yep.
So it's better to be a giver.
Yeah. So go back to what you said earlier. The givers were the worst performers and the best performers in business. The takers and the matchers are in the middle somewhere. Tell us about the studies that showed this, Lynn.
Now, they looked at medical students and they found that those with the lowest grades and the highest grades were givers.
Yeah.
The salespeople, the least productive salespeople had 25% higher giver scores, but so did the most productive salespeople. The most productive salespeople who were givers averaged 50% more annual revenue than the takers and the matchers.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, engineers, those who were least successful, were the givers as well. And they were more concerned about making sure they could help other people, which prevented them from completing their work on time or completing drawings, and they were missing deadlines all the time. But those engineers who were successful had the highest giving scores and were well known for their quantity and the quality of their work. Okay. So it's very contrasting findings. Yes. So Adam Grant found that there was a myth around giving, around givers, that they were nice and altruistic people.
Because that's understanding.
Yes.
You know, I understand that.
But he said it was a myth.
Okay.
He noted that the givers at the top of the success ladder had actual goals for their own achievement, and they were just as ambitious as the takers and the matchers. However, they had a very different way of pursuing their goals.
Yes. Yeah,
okay. The differences were clearer when the successful giver wins or achieves success. When takers win, they're usually someone else who loses.
Can imagine that.
Yep. And research shows that people tend to envy successful takers, and they look for ways to knock them down a notch. So you often see someone who's going really well in business for a while, and then they collapse. It's likely that they're a matcher or a taker rather than a giver, because somebody else has knocked them down.
Yeah.
They're different. The differences are very subtle.
We like tearing down tall poppies.
Yes. Yeah. But in contrast with successful givers, people tend to cheer on and support them. Givers succeed in a way that creates a ripple effect, and it enhances the success of people around them. The differences lie in how the giver's success creates value instead of just claiming it.
Yes, okay.
Okay. It was also found in the research that those who were successful givers, they had taken longer to achieve the success than those who were takers.
Yep.
And when they achieved the success, they maintained it because they had the supporters with them.
Yeah.
So being a giver is not good for the 100-meter dash, but it's valuable in a marathon.
Can I ask you this question? Is there a role in this for humility? Is there one of these particular people, I guess the givers, at the better end of the scale, who will be typically demonstrating humility alongside this as well? Because there's a very well-known set of principles in management that level five leadership, the top, will be characterized by, above all else, humility and a sense of service to others, from the bloke at the top or the woman at the top.
That's right. And I think that's Adam Grant doesn't mention humility in his work.
Okay.
But he does certainly look at the differences in the way that people give. And I think the giving is particularly about other people and not about themselves.
Yeah. Which I guess is undergirded by a degree of humility, you'd hope. Yeah.
Yes. Now, it's interesting too, when Adam Grant did this work, he did it over quite a number of years, a couple of decades. And as an organisational psychologist, he raised a number of changes that have occurred in the process of doing his research.
Okay.
And he noted that in the 80s, that the percentage of people working in jobs that provided services to others was 50%. And now today, 80% of people are in the service sector work.
What an explosion. Yeah.
Yes. And that would cause a shift in the expectation of the people you provide a service to.
Yes.
Because they're paying for their services, so they expect greater services. Does that make sense?
Yep, fair enough, yes.
So maybe we've got more takers out there. So if there are takers, they want more than they pay for.
Yeah.
And if there are matchers, they want a quality service. And so this shift means that to be an entrepreneur in this business world, you'll need to exceed the expectations of the general public.
Which are getting higher and higher.
Yes.
And more demanding.
That's right. Yeah. So to succeed, you want to have people working for you with a giver style of relating. So here we go. We've got our general public who are a bit more takers.
Yeah.
Now we're going to try and find people who are givers in order to be entrepreneurs. And you want people who can see the best interest of others and see that the benefit for others' needs outweighs their own personal effort.
Okay.
Now we've got a challenge.
Yes. And here's a challenge. Do we give until it hurts or until it's unhealthy for us in those circumstances? Have there got to be lines that have been drawn?
I think the difference in what they're saying is that we don't give if it's unhealthy for us, but we give for the benefit of others. So when we give, we don't think about, oh, is this hard for me? But you see, how is it benefiting the people I'm doing it for?
Yeah.
So what is the aim of what I'm doing, and how is it helping that person and or that group of people or the general public? How is that doing that? And it will always be the deciding factor. If it isn't helping the general public or isn't helping the person that you're working with, then basically that's what determines whether you've worked too hard.
Okay. So if you're saying that if you want to do well in business, you need to employ people who are ready to give more than they get, I get that. Or they have a give a style of relating, because we're also talking about style in business.
Yeah. Okay. You want to have people who work for their clients and not the business.
Wow. Try and tell a boss that, though.
Mm-hmm. So if they make decisions that benefit others but don't benefit the business, they are actually the people who will help your business in the long run.
Of course. I understand the logic of that. But in the immediacy of the moment, and if I'm the boss, I want you working for my business.
Yes. So in my line of business, if I counted the money that I earned per hour that I worked.
Huge.
I wish. That would be a matcher style.
Okay, yes.
But if I counted the success or the evidence or the client satisfaction with the service, that's a giver.
Yep.
So if I determined that how hard I work according to the client's needs, that's a giver.
Okay.
So, I mean, this is very, very difficult to sort of try and quantify, but it's actually looking at a very different thing. So really what we need to be looking at is how hard we work in comparison to our client's satisfaction.
And all the way along it's coming back to us.
That's right. Yeah. So when we write a journal article, for example, we need to be thinking about how it has actually hit the mark and how it has changed people's minds rather than how much we were paid for the journal article.
Yeah. What about the feelings of satisfaction and the value that we've perhaps added? Is there a factor there?
Feelings of satisfaction? Yeah. The giver does not have that sense of feeling of satisfaction for their own work. They only have feelings of satisfaction for seeing someone else's gain.
Okay. Can I ask you this? How does this relate to people who have Christian faith in business? Not that they're necessarily because of that. Sometimes definitely not. They're going to be the best employees. But what is there an implication for a Christian person in business?
I think there's a huge implication for Christian people in business in this situation. And I feel that if we've been told over and over in the Bible to be in the world but not of the world. Mm. So we're to be in the business world. We're to be out there doing the work. But we are to lead in the same way that Jesus did, seeing the value in others around us and empowering others to feel valued. I like to see that if in our business world that we don't compete, but we have compassion for one another. We join forces with things. If it means that we're competing next to somebody who's doing exactly the same work, in the business world, in our churches, we shouldn't be competing for customers.
No.
We should be rejoicing when somebody goes to a church, doesn't matter which church.
Yeah.
We shouldn't be, if we have a similar business, counselling business, we should be rejoicing that someone goes to counselling and has good counselling, not that, oh my goodness, they've taken a customer away. So in Christian business, we need to be joining forces and collaborating with people.
You're talking about Christian business, like a Christian enterprise as opposed to a Christian worker in a secular enterprise?
I'm both, I think.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. It's one of the things that struck me with, it's especially a thing over the last, say, 20 years, the endless pursuit of numbers in the church. It's not as Jesus would do it, actually. It was an inevitability of how he went about his work and those of his followers. But to have that as the primary and own goal, it just seems a bit thin.
Yes.
And won't work.
No, that's right. But really, we need to be looking at the value in us, in others around us.
Yeah.
And how empowering others to feel valued happens within our work. If we run our businesses like that, the research shows that in the long term, it'll grow and thrive. It'll bring benefits to others around us. So essentially, we end up sharing the success that we have.
That's what I say. Good for people, good for the world.
Yes.
Very interesting. Let's just foreshadow next week. Where are we heading next week on this subject?
We're going to continue on the subject, but the question we should be asking is, am I a giver, a taker, or a matcher? And I'm going to go through some of the research, but look closer at the complexities of giving and taking and how to be more of a giver in our lives. But to notice, help us to notice when we're takers and matchers so that we can challenge the strategies that we're using.
Intriguing. Look forward to it, as always. Lynn Worsley, thank you so much.
Thanks, Lee.
See you next week. Across Australia, this is Open House. Across Australia, this is Open House.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.